It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 3.9.
Hoping that when a crazy plant lady and a frozen Austrian wrestler walk into a bar, that a bat and a bird aren't too busy admiring their nipples to throw them into Arkham.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And today is, of course, Torture Cinema, and you guys picked the movie, which, thank you for that. I've mentioned on our Twitter that we hate you pretty much wholly and completely. Before, we could just hate ourselves. Now we actually hate you. So this is wonderful.
Well, it wasn't as bad as the Guyver, but then again, not much is. So.
No, I don't know. This one's pretty damn bad.
It was pretty bad. All right, give them the breakdown.
Okay, well, this is a pretty simple plot. So, okay, basically, Mr. Freeze is trying not to die because he's frozen and he wants to save his wife. So that's fun. And then a crazy plant lady becomes a crazy plant lady when her crazier boss throws her into poison, and somehow that turns her into a plant. I don't really know. There's some, like, very questionable science in this.
Very.
And then, of course, Batman and Robin are having marital strife. And for some reason, Alicia Silverstone comes into the picture and everybody ignores her as sort of sex object. And they go and they, like, and there's bad stuff going on and they want to, like, ruin the world. And I don't really know. That's about it.
It's also Mr. Freeze can save his wife. So
that's his motivation. And the plant lady's motivation is she's like a crazy PETA member.
Yeah, but even no. She's Greenpeace. Yeah, you can't even go with Greenpeace really though, because Greenpeace go for animals too. She seems to want to kill all mammals, not just humans, but all mammals. She just wants plants to take over the world. It's very bizarre.
It is very bizarre, but that's her motivation because apparently, she's really mad at Wayne Enterprises for being one company that doesn't want to listen to her. Which seems like a really odd way to choose how you're going to destroy an entire city because one company thinks you're crazy because you look crazy and you act like a nut.
It's as good a place to start as any.
I guess. I mean, it's just that's the basic
idea. Yeah, of course it's a weak premise, but this is Batman and Robin we're talking about, not anything else.
I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean, Mr. Freeze at least had like legitimate reasons and didn't seem all that terribly insane to me, but Poison Ivy, I just kind of sat there and went, so you're going to...
No. He was either insane or just easily manipulated, because the fact that he goes from, well, Batman and Robin killed my wife, which they didn't, but, you know, whatever, and so I want revenge on them, to I'm going to freeze the entire planet, because this crazy plant lady told me that was a good idea.
He is crazy, though. We know he's crazy. Look at him. He's covered in blue.
I know.
And glitter.
He's a Terminator.
Okay.
New nickname now. Did you hear that?
Anyway. Okay, so we got to plow through this because we got to do this in under 30 minutes.
Like or dislike first?
It doesn't really matter to me because all of them are almost the same thing.
Yeah, they really are.
The way I did likes for this one was because I only found one thing that I actually liked. And the rest are just things that I laughed about. And I thought, well, I didn't groan, so I must put those in my likes.
That makes sense. All right, so let's go with likes first then. You get to go first.
Okay, well, I'll start with my first legitimate like, which is the sets. They're a little campy, but they're cool and dark and gothic. And they're like giant statues and cool train sets and stuff like that. And yeah, I like them.
All right. I don't think I can respect you now.
I like the cityscapes. I should refresh that. But not so
that's
much.
Okay.
Yeah. Although Poison Ivy's lair was kind of neat, except for the really retarded curtain things.
I seriously just totally lost all respect for you. Those sets are terrible. The cityscape is terrible. Terrible.
Go to hell. Go to hell.
First set is awful.
Go to hell.
It's just, I'm shocked that you would ever put that as a like. A legitimate like. That's what's hilarious about this. It's one of the worst things about this movie.
No, it's not.
It totally is.
What's your like? Shut up. Just move on. What's your first like?
My first like is more, as you said, it's an amusement. I was amused by the fact that they totally get to ignore science in this movie. Both physics, which was fabulous, and anything related to biochemistry or whatnot. So,
I know. Like, she becomes Poison Ivy because they pour poison on her.
Yeah, she somehow can combine plants with people, which was kind of awesome. Not sure how that works. When you stick poison into a man's brain, he becomes a giant man beast. And then there's the fact that every time they fall, they survive.
Well, and yeah.
Easily.
And
without any form of slowing their fall from, say, 10 to 20,000 feet when they're in the rocket.
Oh, yeah.
They happily land. It was hilarious. I just sat there going, I kept waiting for a point when they didn't totally ignore science, and it never came. It was awesome.
It was.
I mean, like, the giant ray that saves the Earth, you know, the city, because it's like the sun ray at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The fact that Dr. Freeze can freeze people and they don't just automatically die in
freeze
the first
to death
place.
And die in like 2 minutes, yeah.
And then the fact that they can take the sun, which apparently when is reflected off of a bunch of satellites turns into this giant, heat ray. It's hilarious that it wouldn't just kill them.
No, it just
it's only slightly
everything.
Warm. It just de-thaws everything, and they're all fine. They just shake the snow off.
It de-thaws in seconds, but it's not hot enough to burn them.
I love that. It was fabulous.
Okay. All right. First dislike, then.
First dislike. I'm going to go with the gangs.
They were so dumb.
Bothered me. I can't even remember how many gangs there were. There were, like, a ton of them, especially in the bike scene. But you've got Dr. Freeze's gang, which is, like, the hockey men. Which were classic. And then, like, at the nighttime biker scene, you have these punks and, oh, by the way, everything's under blacklight, which is fabulous. Then you have, like, the Clockwork Orange gang, and you have the
guys with the weird
gang.
The weird, like, white hair hats that the judges in England wear.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the Beethoven gang. I mean, like, there is... It was, or Mozart gang, who knows. And then there were more. There was the giant orange-haired gang. That was one of my favorites. Seriously, by the end of it, I was so pissed. I was like, you can't think of one legitimately scary gang for this movie?
Yeah, no, even the neon-colored gang was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And they're all pitiful, too. I mean, there was only... all of them were weak, and I get that gangs like to dress up like each other, but these guys were just kind of
ridiculous. Usually it's just like a tattoo or a hat.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
The full clothes.
Maybe a color.
Yeah, maybe they'll wear the same jacket.
Not matching uniforms.
Yeah. I know. What is with that? Yeah, that is ridiculous. Okay. Well, my first dislike is probably one of your dislikes, which is in the beginning of the movie, there's a full minute of bat nipples, bat groins, and bat butts.
Oh. Yeah, that's the very beginning of the film.
It's the very beginning of the film while they're putting on their uniforms. And it comes later, too, when Batgirl comes in.
When Batgirl comes in, at least she doesn't have really super obvious nipples, but she's still
they're
got
there.
The nipples.
You can still
I mean,
see.
Yeah, the inclusion of the nips is...
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's not... That would be worse
it's
enough.
It's the fact that it's like this glamour scene.
Where you see the
check butt. Out my ass. Check out my boobies.
My
you know,
bat
like
butt.
Exactly. My sexy gloves. You're like, what are it's you like, people doing?
And I love how obvious that it is that they don't have the bodies that the suits say they have.
Oh, right?
They're all like chiseled abs and perfect pecs. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't look like that.
Yeah, that I didn't actually include that as one of my dislikes, but
should have.
It's totally one of my dislikes. It's just I figured you'd cover it. It was kind of impossible to ignore.
Okay, well, all right, so your second like.
My second like. I'm going to go with Bane.
I just lost all respect for you.
Okay, now, Bane is hilarious. can you tell that my likes and dislikes are kind of blending together? Okay,
yeah.
So Bane is hilarious.
The right, because he just like, grunts and...
Bane, stop! You know, like... Poison Ivy gives him some sort of direction, and he repeats two words, or one word sometimes, selectively, you know, and, she'd be like, Bane, get the exit, and Bane, exit, or something like that, or exit, smash, and you're like, wow.
He's like Hulk.
Oh, that was one of my favorites, when she said, step on it, Bane. He says something like, Bane, stomp, and you're like, what? What?
Oh, yeah, okay.
No,
okay.
But, like even his backstory is just kind of, I love it. There's something about it. He's like a serial killer. That's what's great.
Who they do experiments on.
And he becomes this, he's like this scrawny serial killer, too. And then he becomes this giant green-skinned, monster that has to have, why they never just pulled the venom out of the back of his head, I'll never figure out. And then you push a button and he goes supercharged, even though the supercharged didn't really seem any different from the regular charge.
And the funny thing about that was, it was really easy. He didn't do it till the end, and it was like, kick the tube! And it's...
You're like, what? Do anything. He cracked me up. I was really, as you said, you were choosing things that made you giggle. He made me giggle.
Okay. All right. Well, my second like is actually the fact that villains publicly declare their evil plans before anyone knows they're villains yet, and then nothing happens. Nobody like records them or says, "Hey, that doesn't seem right." Like for Poison Ivy sits in, she's in that like at a coronation ceremony or something for the light tower thing.
Right.
And she says her whole plan in a room full of people and nobody wonders, like, wait, after this crazy lady shows up and starts like killing people and doing evil plant things, like nobody is like concerned.
No. Yeah. Nobody makes the connection.
So I actually kind of like that apparently the heroes are really, really dumb, which makes sense because one of my dislikes will tie into this. So
yeah, that, I have to admit, that was a great scene.
Yep. Okay, so your second dislike.
Second dislike. I'm going with, oh, by the way, the look of Gotham.
Okay, so you're saying...
It should have been my first dislike in hindsight. I forgot about it. I had it in there. But I freaking hated the look of Gotham. I mean, I almost connected with this with another one of my dislikes, but I'm going to go with it as a standalone. Okay. So they have like the giant towers and these random flying buttresses that with roads over the top, and then the big, huge statues, which I don't believe were in the first two films, but were definitely in the second two films, that are hollow, of course, and are like, they're not even Atlas. I think one is a guy playing discus. I'm not really sure.
I wasn't paying that much attention.
And I mean, like, but that's the top. It's dark, but it's so ridiculous looking that you can't even take it seriously. I mean, it just gives them things to fly around on or something. And then if you go down into the streets, the street level look, like doing the chases and everything with what happened with these two movies, the second two films, as opposed to the ones Tim Burton, I believe, directed both the first two. And he did this, dark kind of, as new people are familiar with, the Nolan versions are very dark versions of Batman. Well, that's what Tim Burton was doing. And then Joel Schumacher comes in and turns it into this total caricature of...
Okay, okay, we get your point. Can we move on? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're like talking for like 10 minutes about how much you hate the sets, and I get it, you hate the sets. But we can move on now.
No, we can't. It was horrible. Yes, horrible. Okay.
Okay. All right. So your third light. Wait, yeah. Oh, we did my second light, right? No, we haven't. We haven't done my second dislike.
No.
My second dislike, everything about the first 15 minutes of the movie. Everything.
Refresh my memory on the first 15 minutes of the movie.
They fight Mr. Freeze. They end up on the rocket ship. Like, all of the fact that they can their feet together and they can have skates come out. The whole convenience of having everything on their suits. Like, this goes to ties to your, like, science thing. Like, they must have, like, a bag of holding in their suit.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had, like, they tap their feet together and they get skates and they go skating. And then, of course, they fly down from the rocket on basically air surfboards made of the doors.
Yep.
And skate down, board down the side of buildings. And nothing happens to them. And my thought is, like, this is so ridiculous and so corny and so dumb. I stopped the movie at that point to go make dinner at like minute 19.
I know.
And then I was like, I had to fight with myself to come back.
I don't blame you. It was the first 15 minutes are atrocious. And it's really just that the lead in to this film, to the rest of the film, was bad enough that you're like, why am I still watching this film?
Yeah.
I mean, because it starts with the nipple scene. So
yeah.
That almost ruined the rest of the movie for me, period. So I don't know.
Asses and groins. And okay, we got to move on. All right.
Exactly.
Okay. Your third like.
My third like. I am going to go with Vivica Fox as Miss Behaven. This is like a 1 minute part. Okay.
Okay.
It's Vivica Fox, which is kind of awesome in the first place. I have mad love for Vivica Fox.
Okay. Go on. What is it?
And
like?
She's in like this, you know, she's dark skinned, obviously. So she's in this like super white outfit. And the fact that she's like madly in love with Dr. Freeze, which is fabulous. And like, she wants to like heat up his world or something like that. And you're like, dude, you know, that's going to kill him, right? You know, is that your evil plan or something? But she's wearing in this like frozen, you know, his frozen layer.
Right, where everyone else is freezing.
Everybody else is freezing, even though they're wearing giant jackets. She seems to be fine with her. And she has this great line about, my hair might be brittle and my skin dried up, but I still love you.
Yeah. Okay, so you like that.
I thought it was hilarious. Yes.
Okay, good. That's good. I completely forgot she was in the movie.
Oh, yeah, I know. Totally easy to forget. But somehow she stood out as one of the best characters in this movie.
Because she had one, like, kind of dirty line?
Just one almost realistic line. She should have mentioned also that she's freezing to death and she has frostbite in her toes because she's walking around in high heels and thigh-high stockings. But, you know.
All right, well, my third like is exaggerating old man. Do you remember this scene?
Exaggerating old man.
Okay, so Wayne goes in to talk to Alfred, and he asks him basically if he's a hard ass. And Alfred says, yeah, because he's trying to control everything. And so Alfred then says, you know, he points out that Batman attempts to control the chaos of that's sweeping the whole world. And like my first thought was with that was like, he's barely even controlling the chaos in Gotham. Like, you're a little bit going overboard thinking that he's trying to control the whole world. Like, he can't even handle the one little town he's got.
He can't even handle his broken partnership with Robin.
No, he can't even handle that. So, I thought it was amusing that he's just got these high aspirations that Bruce Wayne is constantly letting him down about while he's dying.
Yeah, I totally forgot that scene. I must have, like, glazed over it.
It's a good scene. It's a good scene where you understand why Alfred got the disease he got and why he's dying.
You're terrible.
Because he's so disappointed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well, my final three are all kind of the same thing, and they all connect to the look of Gotham.
Okay, all right, well.
This is how much this movie pissed me off in the long run. Okay. So I'm going to go with my next dislike is the dizzying array of black-lit effects.
Oh, yeah, yeah, film. Yeah. You kind of already covered that. That was really lame.
I mean, there's, like, so many things. You've got, like, the medicine at the end. You've got the... Yeah. All of the gangs are wearing, like, you know, black-lit...
Neon colors,
neon-colored makeup. full-on face makeup, which is classic, and just random things are just blacklit for no particular reason. And
okay.
It drove me crazy. I had a total headache by the end of some of those scenes.
Well, I just threw this one in at the last minute, but it's a short one, and it probably won't take any explanation. But Viper Plant Mutant Hybrid Jim Henson's Rejects is what I wrote. There's one scene where Poison Ivy like shows up with this plant monster. It's like a snake mixed with the plant. And it is so cheap. All it can do is move its head side to side really quick. It's like a really cheap McDonald's toy in a glass case.
I think McDonald's produces better toys than that.
Maybe now.
I mean, it was really bad.
It was bad. That's why I call it a Jim Henson's Reject. Like, this is something some intern made, and they decided they couldn't use it for anything, and they fired the intern.
Right.
And he ended up on Batman and Robin, because the director owed someone a favor.
Makes sense.
Or Jim Henson's owed them a favor, and they sent their reject to them.
What number are we on?
I don't really know. This is like number three or something. Anyway, so let's go with number four, like, for you. What's your number
four, like? Okay, my fourth like is Poison Ivy's double entendres.
God, no.
There's some classics.
Give me one. I've got
some wild oats that need to be sowed.
No, I'm done. I'm out. It was bad enough.
I need someone to tend my garden.
It was bad enough when Arnold Schwarzenegger was doing it.
One of the best ones is Arnold Schwarzenegger says something like, I need to get some diamonds to recharge. And she says, I'll help you grab your rocks.
I'm done. No. I hate Uma Thurman in this so bad.
So bad.
I wished death for her, but then she didn't die at the end. I was hoping she got eaten by her own plant, but apparently not.
It was really atrocious. But the lines they give her, you have to admit, there's some hilarity in...
No, I just groaned the whole time.
It was really bad. I mean, just what they did with that character. The hypersexualized. At least they called it out later on in the film, which was nice.
Well, anyway. Okay, well, my fourth like is actually Arnold Schwarzenegger's evil laugh. It's so awesome. It comes from his Nazi background, clearly. From growing up in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
After World War II, clearly.
Not a Nazi. Not a very nice man, but not a Nazi.
Oh, gosh, that was so great, though. He does this, like, I can't even do it because he's got that German laugh.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what you're talking about. If he laughed, I think I forgot it.
It's the evil laugh. He does it really well when he starts freezing the city and he's all, oh, ha, 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 but all evil-like and with the deep voice, and it's just perfect. He's really good at it. He should play villains more often.
Oh, I'm sure.
Tonight, hell freezes over.
Yeah, so that's my number four. It wasn't as funny, but I was amused by that, and I liked it.
All right, sounds good. So your fourth dislike.
Your fourth dislike.
Mine? Okay. The fact that this entire film was a caricature of Batman and Robin, basically.
Okay.
Okay, so it's more like the TV show than it is the comic book, if that makes any sense.
Yes, yeah. No.
You remember the TV show, like the most cornball... Yeah. Like, yeah. Ridiculous crap with the ridiculous gangs and the ridiculous villains and the ridiculous lines and all of that stuff. That's what this was a movie. And considering the only problem with this is that Tim Burton had already set out to create a serious Batman and Robin, and then the next two films turned into the TV show.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go to bed.
I know, right?
I fell asleep. You remember when we were talking about the Guyver and you said you fell asleep?
You fell asleep? I just, instead of falling asleep in this one, I just would screen and listen to it in the background. I think that's when Alfred must have done his crazy moment, because I just was like, I can't even watch this crap.
No. This is like when you watch The Giver, and you remember when you fell asleep and you woke up and it felt like nothing happened?
Yeah, right?
The same experience, only it was weirder because I fell asleep in the middle of a conversation.
Nice.
And woke up at the end and it still made sense.
It was such a weak film. Oh my god. Okay. So fifth like.
No, wait, no, it's my fourth.
That's your fourth dislike.
No, it wasn't a fourth dislike. I was just a story.
Oh my goodness. Okay, go ahead. What's your fourth dislike?
I'll be quick with this one. I'm maybe a little, I'm okay.
Such a dork.
I'm sorry, but that was really funny.
It's totally easy to do, isn't it? I mean, like, some of these films, it's just like, whoa, what?
I just thought it was great, though, because I woke up right before George Clooney said something, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And just went on. Okay, so my fourth dislike is every female actress in this movie. I'm not going to talk about Alicia Silverstone, though, because I have one set up just for her.
Just for her.
But Uma Thurman's fake British accent.
She didn't have a British accent.
Yes, she did. She tried to play it with a British accent, and it was really
bad.
She
didn't.
Yeah, she did.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
No, she didn't.
Watch it again.
I will. She totally didn't. She was straight up American.
No. No, it was really bad.
She was trying to do a sexy.
Well, she failed miserably.
Not a British voice, just a sexy voice. And yeah, no, of course she was terrible. What about the girlfriend?
Which girlfriend?
The model. She's like a supermodel. What is
her?
I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. There's an exception. The only two people that are good in this is the Bruce Wayne's girlfriend and Mr. Freeze's wife. Although Mr. Freeze's wife doesn't actually do anything. She just sits there in a giant tube of water. But
okay. And you're going to say that the girlfriend does anything? She's basically a dressing piece.
No, I didn't say she did anything. I said she was okay.
Yeah. She's okay. So your argument is that the only women in this film who are decent are the ones that don't do anything. I'm calling you out for being sexist.
No. If they did something, I would still like them because they don't act like total buffoons on the screen.
That's true.
Because like the girlfriend acts very seriously. She has these very serious moments where she's basically asking Bruce Wayne to like marry her and trying to convince him like, I'm not going to stay here forever. You have to like make a decision. Like there's very serious moments. She doesn't really do anything. She's not important to the story, but she can act, you know, like I believe her character.
She was a terrible actress.
Shut up. Go to hell.
She just had really simple lines.
It may just be because in compared to like Uma Thurman, Alicia Silverstone, that she seems like she's good in comparison.
And meanwhile, you totally skipped Vivica Fox, who was awesome.
I know. I forgot she was in the movie. She's in the scene for 30 seconds. Shut up.
And okay. What about the gossip columnist? She was hilarious.
I thought it was a man.
I can't even talk to you anymore.
All
right.
Gay man.
So your fifth like.
My fifth like? It's actually cheap drowning scenes. Did you notice this? When Robin is drowning in that like pool in Poison Ivy's lair.
Oh, yeah.
He comes up for air at one point, and then he gets sucked back down again. But if you watch that scene, it's just the scene played in reverse. They go one way, and then they just reverse the visual.
I can't believe you were paying enough attention to notice that.
I saw it and I was like, that looked like a glitch. And I watched it over and over thinking maybe this was just really like robotic and he just came up and down.
I can't believe you watched any portion of this movie over and over again.
But I loved it. I just kept watching it and thinking this is hilarious because they are so cheap in this that they can't even, like, they didn't even bother to do a proper scene of him getting sucked back down.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
They just cut in that scene, played forwards, and then in reverse. It was so dumb.
You're dumb. All right, my last like.
Yeah.
Alfred.
I almost had him on my list. And then
okay,
I thought
you know
that
what?
Was too easy.
What was funny is I totally forgot what this movie was about. So one of my original dislikes, because I'm just kind of watching the movie, going through it, going, okay, blah, blah, blah. One of my dislikes was Alfred dying.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, crap, he doesn't die. So I had to put him on my likes. Because it's Alfred. This is the only character that was consistent through the four films.
This is true.
Yeah, well, I mean, Robin is in the same guy in the final two movies, so I suppose you can kind of go with that. Alicia Silverstone. Batgirl is only Batgirl, but she's only in one movie. But the only consistent person, the only one who is in every movie is Alfred. And he was consistently good. He was the only decent actor in four freaking films. No, I lied. Michael Keaton was brilliant. The first movie was just brilliant, period. It was great. But the only one who's in all four that was fantastic was Alfred. And okay. I was glad he was still there. And I'm really sad that the actor died.
Okay.
I'm done.
Are you done? You sure?
Yeah, I'm done.
Your last dislike.
My last dislike? Joel Schumacher.
You go for the big one.
I'm going for the big one. He is responsible for this movie.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
and therefore he should die.
Okay.
He's not only responsible for this movie, he's responsible for the one before it, which was equally bad. And to be honest, he really hasn't done that much that's great since this movie, so Joel Schumacher.
Should die. Okay.
And nobody would miss him.
All right, well, my last dislike is actually Alicia Silverstone. Hold on.
Okay.
Good reasons for this.
Okay.
She has, and some of this is Joel Schumacher's fault for accepting the script or writing the script that she got. But yeah. She delivers all her lines like wood. She can't. And there's a scene where she says, "I guess all the speed and danger took me out of myself and made the pain go away." But she says it really, really just awfully. But that's not why I really, it's just not just her, it's her character. Her character is the dumbest person ever. Okay, there's the whole scene where she's trying to crack into Alfred's secret CD.
I know, she can't figure out the password.
Wait, no, don't ruin this. Okay, don't ruin this. This is good. Okay, so she's trying to crack into it by typing the passwords. And this is a foreshadow for later. So, hold on. And she types four passwords and can't figure it out. The passwords she types are Alfred, Wayne, England, and Margaret.
Yep.
Okay. Four of the easiest passwords you could have ever picked to encrypt something.
Okay, not only that, but why would anyone use England as their password? Unless you're like the Queen Mum.
Even so, though, she wouldn't, why would you do that? It's obvious. It's like ABC123.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not like the final password was really that much more difficult.
No, I know. It was Peg, but at least it was a nickname for the guys
that Alfred's is sitting above. Directly next to the computer he uses every day. Yeah, really tough.
Yeah, but you would only know that if you were in his office.
That's true. And this is Alfred, and he is like a million years old, so he needs easy reminders for things like
that. Sure. But anyway, so this is what, you know, but after she types these four passwords, right, the four that are wrong, she says, "This better be one hell of a secret." What kind of secret would you put behind a password of your first name?
Yeah. That's
like, really seriously? The fact that it turns out to actually be a secret, and the fact that maybe it's kind of was really easy, I almost feel like he did it on purpose. Like, she's really dumb.
Well,
I have to do a simple password. So
I think he
out.
Did, because just because of the fact that he knew she would be coming down there. I mean, it was like, you know?
But
and
the worst
she's obviously
part,
stupid. Yeah, the worst part. This is true.
This is later in the finale. This turd acts as foreshadowing for her character being a computer genius.
Yep.
She suddenly knows how to do everything on computers because she hacked into the CD with...
She just doesn't know how to hack into a CD with an easy password.
Oh my gosh, I was so... I saw that and I about, like, just wet myself with just feeling so, like, kicked in the balls.
I know. But at least she has the line where she, you know, at least she stomps Poison Ivy's butt. And it was nice seeing, this is what I was saying earlier, the hypersexualized versus, you know, at least a woman who, I mean, granted, she's got showing nipples, but still, she was a damn sight better, feministically wise, than Poison Ivy, who was just atrocious.
No, she's just as bad. I just can't stand both of these people.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I'm glad that I didn't remember this movie, because if I did, I would have lost all respect for Uma Thurman and would never watch anything she's in. But now that I've seen it again, I have lost all respect for Uma Thurman.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, and I never had any respect for Alicia Silverstone, but, you know, whatever.
I'm shocked that George Clooney has gone on to have a decent career after
being after this. I know, it's right? So awful. It's because he's cute.
No, he is actually a really good actor. Well, except for his weird tendency to constantly smile when he's talking to Alfred, he actually did do a decent job in this film with what he had, granted.
Which wasn't much.
Which really wasn't much. And same with Chris O'Donnell. I mean, well, slightly less so, but anyway. Yeah. So what's your score for this movie?
Oh, F. Yeah, it's
I'm just going to give it a D, to be honest. It still hasn't matched the level that some of our other movies have matched.
Okay, I'll give it an F+.
I mean, I'll give you individual portions of this film totally are like F-minuses, but as a whole, I'm just giving it a D.
Okay, well, if you give it a D and I give it an F+, that means we even out to a D-.
D-minus it is. Totally so acceptable.
This is a bad movie. I can't wait till somebody gives us a movie that they think is really bad but turns out to be good.
Oh, I know.
Because then I'll be like, what am I supposed to do?
That might happen with the Jean-Claude Van Damme one.
Possibly.
The Universal Soldier. So we'll see. Somebody has to vote for it, though.
New poll will go up on Wednesday tomorrow, Tuesday.
I can't wait for our next movie, only because we're finally past this is like the hump for me. It's like we're over the hump. We got past Batman and Robin. We can only go up from here.
Oh, no, you're going to get screwed if you think that.
I know, we're doomed.
All right, so if anybody wants to add a movie to our list, you can easily send us a message. You can do that the following three ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
Leave a message on a blog.
SkiffyandFanty.wordpress.com.
Or send us a tweet.
Twitter.com/SkiffyandFanty.
Yep, you can suggest a movie, and don't forget, there's going to be a new poll with, we'll add another movie to the same list that we had before, and you guys can vote again and select. Something tells me we'll be watching 2012 next time, because that was in second place.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that one's a bad movie. At least we can't complain that it's, the visuals aren't cool.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix streaming, so that's good.
Yeah. Alrighty, so that is the end of the episode. We will see you all next week with... something that is not torture cinema, thankfully.
But we don't know what it is otherwise.
Oh, no, we know what it is. Did I'm we? Not telling anybody.
Oh, damn. You didn't even tell me things. I know. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.